for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Welcome. I love undoing the shiny, glittery wrapping off a new show.
Yep, makes me go, weaker the knees.
It do, and me, moving swiftly on. This week we chat to ADHD about their new book.
And more importantly, I am Ezra Peregrine, and there's someone sat next to me, I think they're called Steffi Barnett. And in the next hour, we will educate you, inform you, and entertain you. This is...
Shout Out! Eight-second delay when we're live.
What 8-second delay indeed.
Yeah, we're live from the Riverside Studios, and we've got Arby and Terry joining us remotely from all places around the city of Bristol currently. I think you're both in the burbs of some form or other. Good evening, both.
Good evening.
Hiya.
We got ADHD coming up, and don't forget, if you haven't already, get voting.
Yeah, I was just about to say that.
Well done. Get saying it then.
Yeah, so we have the Shout Out Awards coming out, and now we're into the, well, I suppose the second round of nominations. I never know the words. Andy knows the words.
People
I don't know the
words. Voting people are voting.
People, yeah, vote. So have a look on the Shout Out website, because there are some incredible people up for awards, and ADHD is just one of them. So, and everything they do for children, for the queer community, they're just a phenomenal person who has a way of never giving up, of always having their voice, and reading to children in libraries should, I reckon, not be something that is up for debate. I don't know what you think.
Yeah, indeed. We're going to be having a chat later on about Doctor Who. Russell T. Davis got a new series that's coming out, not sure when. A bit disappointing figures for the BBC and Disney for Doctor Who. And Shooty is looking at packing it in, actually. After the second one, I think all except one Doctor, that's the shortest, isn't it, Terry? Or Doctor Goro there?
Don't know. No, it's
yes,
not.
Colin Baker did two seasons and was unfortunately fired by the BBC. He wasn't treated terribly well by the BBC, but it has to be said. But yes, two seasons is the shortest. Unless, of course, you
not
can't
Chris Eccleston?
Chris Eccleston did one
series.
And Paul McGann, of course, did just the movies, just the 1996 movie, and they didn't go to a full series with that. But he has come back since in many audio adventures, as has Chris Eccleston and Colin Baker as well.
Right, we've got a lot to fit in, so and we've got quite a few LGBT History Month segments, and this is one for Harvey Milk.
LGBT History Month with BCFM 93.2. Harvey Milk. Milk helped found the Castro Village Association in San Francisco after another local merchants association tried to prevent two gay men from opening a store. In 1978, Milk won an election as city county supervisor in San Francisco. As the first openly gay elected official in the history of California, his election made national and international headlines. Milk spoke heavily of the need for visibility of the gay community, the need to come out of the closet and to fight the lies, myths, and distortions. On November 27, 1978, a disgruntled former city supervisor assassinated Milk and Mayor Moscone. That night, a huge crowd spontaneously marched from Castro Street to City Hall in a silent candlelight vigil. LGBT History Month with BCFM 93.2.
The Shout Out Podcast.
And that's the title from Shirley Bassey. How smooth is that? Now, later on, we're going to have a hairbrush moment, so please get your hairbrush together. Now, remember, same rules apply to this show as all the other shows that I do. The more expensive the hairbrush, the better you're going to sound, okay? That's nearer the end of the show. It's been quite a while since we caught up with our favourite drag act, Ada HD, and welcome to the show, Ada.
Hello, thank you for having me.
You are very welcome. Now, before we get into that and the fun and your new book and that, there's a lot happening around the planet, and especially with trans women, trans men and drag queens that's coming out of the States mainly. But we know how that travels around the globe because of the power of the US has. What's your take on what's happening, and has it affected you?
I think the first take on this is that actually it is split. It is split between trans people and drag artists. But I think the overarching word is queer. Queer people as a whole. Anybody who doesn't align with the what could be deemed normal way to go about your life, whether that be through gender or sexual orientation. The United States politics has historically always filtered out into the rest of the world. Just like any type of hate has always filtered and gotten a bit further away from its origin, I do get uneasy when it comes to whenever there is some sort of fascist uprising somewhere else in the world. It does empower other fascist people within our own country. I can't say as of yet if it's been something that has or will be affecting Drag Queen Story Hour in the upcoming months or years. But I think the prediction is out there that, yes, it's going to be a hard 4 years for queer people all across the world, especially with the laws that this apparent not dictator, quotation marks, is putting through. All these laws, they're dangerous, they're nasty, and they're simply there to empower hateful people with more hate. And personally, I can't stand the man.
Well, ditto, and I think that any right-minded person feels the same. You have taken quite a hit in your career in doing Drag Story Hour. It must have had an impact on you. What do you use to rise above that and keep going?
So, I mean, I'm actually happy to talk about the impact it's had on me. I've been a children's author now for 5 years. Originally publishing my first book in the pandemic. I was doing Drag Queen Story Hour for a couple of years prior to releasing my first book. And it wasn't until the pandemic that I really, in 2020, received the first proper hate campaign that really affected me emotionally. And I spent 4 years from that moment onwards getting an onslaught of, I had death threats, people threatening to, put acid in my face, physically being attacked. I had my skull broken from someone attacking me in the street. There were people who have threatened to kidnap me and even attempted to kidnap me. It's been a lot. Throughout 2024, I did take a pause, as it were. And I was definitely working. I was definitely writing away. I was performing still. But I took a step back. I had a problem with my own mental health that I needed to personally take care of. As a result of that mental health, hurdle, I started writing and writing. And I just kept writing and putting what I was feeling into words, the words that I was saying into words. And for that matter, whenever I spoke to people about how I was feeling, I was putting their words into words as well. As a result of that has come about my new book, actually. It's called I'm Really Glad You're Queer, a statement that I wish people would say to other people more often.
Mm.
Right, so you've segued lovely into the fact you have a new book out, Sav. And so tell me more about it. And you've alluded to how it came about, as in the inspiration that you've had over the years. So what made you put pen to paper for this particular book?
I would say there has been a catalyst. The reason why I put pen to paper for this specific book, or at least what kind of brought about the reason to write this book, it was the unfortunate death of the Vivian, who was found a few days after their death by their family. I felt as if the amount of people out there, not just the Vivian, but the amount of people out there, queer people, who have lost their lives to a society of hate, the amount of queer people that have lost their lives to a society that tells them they're no good, a society that doesn't uplift them with their differences rather than attacking them for something that they can't necessarily change, even if they could. And I think that this book, it talks about the things that we quietly say to ourselves that are quite sad, but then also counteracts it with the things that we wish other people would say back to us, just like, "I'm really glad you're queer."
When you were actually writing, because you have been through some emotional turmoil, when I've spoken to other authors, a lot of them say that when they get into a bad place or they're feeling quite down, it's then that the big inspiration comes, and the more they're down, the better their writing and inspirational their writing becomes. Is that a similar thing for you?
So I'd want to disagree with the idea that the more down you are, the better your writing is. I've written some of my most loveliest of books. The one prior to this was called My First Pride. In my most happiest of moments, I wrote that as a joy message to those who do go to Pride. But what I would say is that I think my writing and how I go about writing has come about through many, many attempts at understanding myself and other people. I think it's not possible to write books like I do without having some sort of experience or skill set in empathizing with people like yourself, but also like people who aren't like yourself as well. I've always remembered one of the first catalysts that I had to becoming a drag artist was the time that I dressed up in drag at school, and a bully who had a few months prior to that kicked me in the head came up to me and said, "Fair play for dressing up in drag in front of everybody that came to watch you." And it was this idea that me dressing in drag somehow inspired this person, this bully, to somehow be a little bit of a better person. I had no actual connection with that human being, other than their foot to my temple. The only connection I had was that we were in the same school. But they somehow connected with me on having some sort of inner strength to do something that they could not. And I feel it's that type of connection, that ability to empathize with somebody that's not actually like you, that can lead somebody to write some of the more empowering stories.
As with children's books, a lot of them adults can pick them up and also enjoy them, but basically that's very similar, I think, Sab, as a Disney movie where you can take your kids but you get enjoyment out of it as well because it's so well written. Would you say that the family could pick your book up and read it and all get enjoyment from it, or is it just centered on children?
Absolutely. So the way that I go about ensuring that, say, as a product, a children's book is that it has two key points to it, one major, one minor. Then there's a third point to it that comes across in the illustrations. And then a fourth one is a family game. That's how I literally go about it. So the first key point, say, on my first book, which was about three goats, one brown, one black, one pink. The first key point was not to bully people. And to ensure that there are people out there who are different to look after them. The second key point was in between the lines, and that was to do with race and gender and orientation, You know, you've got a brown, a black, and a pink goat that were being bullied by a white wolf. It's surprising how many people don't get that that in between the line undertone. The third story that comes across in the actual The Three Goats United is actually not something that I've ever talked about yet, and I don't actually yet want to talk about, but there is a hidden meaning in the illustrations, and you can find it if you really paid attention. But it's quite a deep meaning, and you have to really look for it, unfortunately. But I'll keep that on my nose, and no one's never going to know yet. And then, of course, there's always a game, which is to go and find a secret little item that's hidden throughout each book. In the second book, which is called It's Not a Problem, it's about two lesbian hedgehogs, it's a little coin. In the first book, it's a trans-coloured flower. And in the third book, which is My First Pride, it's actually a little non-binary frog. Between all of the books and the messages that come across, and the experience you can get, every single age can enjoy what I'm trying to put out, which is why I've never really put an age range on my books until now. This new book, I'm Really Glad You're Queer, actually does have an age range on it. And for the first time, it's 13 plus, making it essentially not deemed a children's book. It is a teenager plus book. And I'm actually really excited to see what whoever reads it, what they take away from it.
Can you give us any idea of the plot, or would you rather keep that to yourself?
So the plot, it's difficult because it doesn't necessarily have a plot, but if it would be deemed to have a plot, it would be you. The person reading it is the plot. I'm keeping it close to my chest, what's in this book. It's an experience book. It's a book about yourself, or a book about the person you give it to. The people who I've read it to, my closer networks, they've said how they can see, as either a non-LGBTQ person or an actual queer person themselves, how this book could actually be really impactful and potentially even something they frame and put on the wall or put up as a centerpiece. It's a journey that someone would go through by reading this book.
Intriguing. Right, we're fast running out of time, Sab. And so where can people actually buy the book?
So you can buy the book from the Drag Queen Story Hour UK website. Or you can just Google I'm Really Glad You're Queer and my name, ADHD. It's all on my socials. I mean, if you miss it, you weren't looking. but it's called I'm Really Glad You're Queer. It's written by myself, ADHD. It's currently on pre-order. Every pre-order gets a signature. Every pre-order. Originally, it was 100 books only, but that very fast went. And then I thought, well, I can't just do a pre-order for 24 hours. So I put it up to 500. That very quickly went as well. So I'm now doing it to 1,000 copies. Please rest in peace, my left and right hand, because I'm a little bit ambidextrous, for the amount of signatures I will be placing in front of me to do.
Wow. That is some job. Thank you so much for joining us on the show, ADHD. Thank you so much, and good luck with the book.
Thank you, thank you, and thank you so much for having me.
Shout out. LGBT radio for you.
LGBT History Month with BCFM 93.2. Mark Weston. Mark Weston was born near Plymouth and assigned female at birth. Weston proved to be a talented athlete, winning national titles at discus, javelin and shot put, and represented Great Britain at the 1926 Women's World Games. He became a national celebrity, earning the nickname the Devonshire Wonder, but began to suspect something was different. As he had grown older, his voice deepened and he found he needed to shave. Whilst competing in the World Championships in Prague, Weston began to feel like he had no right to compete as a woman.
A number of years later, in 1936, Weston started seeing a consultant at Charing Cross Hospital, Lennox Broxter. Weston underwent two operations, following which Broxter stated that Mark Weston, who has always been brought up as a female, is a male and should continue to live as such. Within months, Weston married Alberta Bray, a childhood friend that blossomed into romance. Mark Weston retired from competitions and went on to have three children with Alberta, and he died at the age of 72 in Plymouth.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Dua Lipa. That's the title.
Good evening, this is Shout Out News, welcome along. LGBTQIA plus ally Dolly Parton once remarked that if she had not been born a girl, she would have been a drag queen. Our friend Dolly, who has consistently spoken out against homophobia. Homophobes are so stupid, though, that Instinct magazine reports from the UK tour of the Parton musical Here You Come Again on a handful of bizarre instances where homo-haters have actually tried to disrupt the show owing to its inclusion of a gay character. Stephen Webb, the show's lead, was taken to social media to chronicle the jaw-dropping behaviour he and the cast have endured, including being called an anti-gay slur and having to pause performances due to hecklers. In Manchester, one woman was so appalled by the presence of a gay character that she made a scene and was promptly escorted out. The show's producer swiftly condemned the bigotry, making it clear that anyone engaging in such behaviour would be shown the door faster than you can say a cowboy can tip his hat. Individuals making such comments are not welcome at our show, they stated, reinforcing that Here You Come Again is a celebration of inclusivity, joy and basic human decency. Friday night saw a new lesbian classic movie as the showpiece evening film on BBC Two. Released in 2022, Blue Jean stars Rosie McEwen and Kerry Hayes in a pastel-shaded period drama transporting us back to 1988, a time of repression of progressive communities, including LGBT plus people, by the government, but which was also characterised by radicalism, dissident action and fight back against the forces of conservatism. The film has high ratings on film review websites and was acclaimed by critics on its release. In the movie, a closeted teacher learns to accept herself and embraces the loving community of free-spirited lesbian women around her on the gay scene, in a squatted feminist mansion and in daily life. Its screening on Friday night would have pleased many people new to this lovely drama. LGBTQIA plus Roman Catholics have been sending their greetings and best wishes to the Pope, His Holiness Francis. Whilst the Roman Catholic Church moves glacially slowly for many LGBTQIA plus activists, it must be acknowledged that Pope Francis has dramatically changed the rhetoric towards our communities compared with his predecessors. He has emphasised tolerance and inclusion and the teaching of the Gospels that everyone has a place in God's kingdom. The Pope has met with many LGBTQIA plus Catholic groups during his tenure as pontiff. Pope Francis is suffering from a pneumonia, but is said to be resilient and in good spirits, according to a report on Sky News. In media news, LGBTQIA plus pagans will be celebrating the return to the airwaves of a British pagan radio station, Wildwood Radio. First founded in 2011, the station has had its problems over the years, and in 2023, its proprietor, Hearn, announced that it was closing for the last time. However, the station has had some fresh blood in it and is now back to streaming 24/7. There are several other pagan radio stations from the Netherlands, France and the Americas, but Wildwood is, to our knowledge, the only British pagan radio service. The BBC News Channel reports that the largest monitoring service on anti-Muslim hate crime in the UK, Tell Mama, is reporting that hate incidents have reached record levels. For the first time, men are outnumbering women as the victims of these incidents. Tell Mama is available on this free phone number, 0800 456 1226. That's 0800 456 1226. 1226. BBC One's flagship soap opera EastEnders marks 40 years on the air this week. The new soap was part of a refreshing up of BBC One's early evening schedule and the familiar BBC continuity from that evening back in 1985. EastEnders was also an effort to offer an evening competitor to ITV's evening soap, Coronation Street, which had already been on the air for 25 years by that point. LGBTQIA plus viewers to EastEnders will be familiar with some of the storylines that broke through prejudice and showcased modern Britain, including the single-parent punk rocker Mary, blended families across racial lines, and the innocent little kiss between two boyfriends that sparked a storm in the anti-gay newspapers, which seems completely out of touch with reality today. For all of its progressive and multicultural stories, we salute EastEnders on its 40th. The BBC News Channel and Older People's Radio Network Boom Radio both report on the conclusions of a House of Commons committee which finds, quote, widespread discrimination against older people in society and in the workplace. The Commons report concludes that existing laws against age discrimination are too weak and are failing older people because they are rarely enforced, despite evidence of the harm such attitudes cause. Committee Chair Sarah Owen, a Labour MP for Luton North, said it was time for a review of how to shrink the UK's pervasively ageist culture and bring in enforcement with teeth. It is a considerable failure of government that the digital inclusion strategy has not been updated nor progress tracked for a decade, she said. Older people are frozen out of many public debates, assumed to be out of touch, and are kept in poverty by benefits and pension rules, the committee found. Gay Culture magazine then reports that fantasy gaming world Magic has always been a friendly place for minorities, and that now its most subscribed to internet channel has raised an astonishing $500,000 for trans healthcare services in the States. Samantha Reedal takes up the story, writing, Tolarian Community College, YouTube's largest Magic channel, has officially raised more than $472,000 on behalf of Trans Lifeline. TCC, the first Magic-focused channel to cross 1 million subscribers, is operated by creator Brian Lewis. Lewis has run annual fundraisers for the mental health crisis hotline Trans Lifeline since 2020, and this year's drive is now officially the channel's most successful yet. It's overwhelming to see the community support. It makes me so proud of Magic, the gathering players, to see them rallying around the trans community like this, Lewis told them. In the current political climate, he went on, it's just underscored for him the need for that support. And staying with politics, in a new broadside being distributed through radical bookstores, cafes and community meeting places in Australia, the anarchist queer group known as Killjoys criticised the mainstream of the transgender movement of seeking acceptance from gender doctors, psychiatrists and other groups who have traditionally had a difficult relationship with trans plus people. The document reads in part, why should we beg the Australian state to care for trans kids' health when Australia protects white parents and removes black children, locks up black children in youth detention at the highest rates, or places them in racist foster care systems under the guise of protection? It locks up children in its borders and supplies weapons used to kill children around the globe. Parents and LGBT NGOs appeal at the same time to state forces that have abused and sterilised and mutilated queer and trans people for centuries. Trans youth must be armed with the means to liberate themselves, armed with the knowledge of themselves and their history, armed with the tools of self-defence in all its forms from analysis to action, armed with the means to transition collectively and autonomously with their peers, armed by a new non-hierarchical trans family, a community that teaches defiance. What's in your attic? So asked the largest Pride event in Wales this week, Cardiff Pride Cymru. They go on to say in a new press release, in the spirit of LGBTQ History Month, we encourage you to search through your homes for artefacts you could contribute to your local archives and museums. These could be pins, stickers, badges, banners, t-shirts, diaries, love letters, photographs, flyers, or anything else you might find. No matter how small or insignificant it seems, it does matter. LGBT plus people have always existed, but for centuries we have been hidden from history. We need all the help we can get to fill in the gaps and create resources for future generations to look back on and see that we were here. If you have anything you'd like to contribute, please contact your local archives or Museums Wales. And if you need support to do this, please email hello@pridecymru.com. And finally, back to Australia. Mon Shafter at the Australian Public Broadcasting Network, ABC, reports that plans are coming along nicely for the televised LGBTQIA plus Sydney Mardi Gras, which is covered live on television for Australians gay and straight to enjoy across the country. Mon says, Queer Christmas is now in full swing, and our community's Night of Nights, the lesbian and gay Mardi Gras Sydney, will soon be beamed and streamed into your homes from 7:30pm on Saturday, March the 1st, on ABC Television and ABC iView. Drag icon Courtney Act and I are delighted to once again be your co-hosts with the ABC's loveliest multitasker, Jez Fernandez, and comedian Mel Butler returning as our intrepid roving reporters. This year, some very special rainbow guests will join Courtney and me at the desk, none other than actress and advocate Georgie Stone, whose story is the first trans character on Neighbours was shared on Australian Story, musical theatre statesman Simon Burke, and actor and comedian Steph Tisdale, who describes herself as a relative newcomer to the community. The Tea for Tea will also be hosting on Radio Triple Day's Mardi Gras Party, bringing you the best queer anthems to soundtrack the big event. In celebration of Mardi Gras, ABC Queer has also just released our first ever ABC iView and YouTube series, OK Boomer, OK Zoomer, which pairs LGBTQ elders with young people who discuss how queer life has changed over time, from early LGBTQ rights protests to coming out on social media. We're super proud of this moving and funny cross-generational rainbow history lesson. ABC television and radio networks are available across many platforms throughout Australia. And that date for you, the Mardi Gras, is on Saturday, March the 1st. And we'll be live on ABC. Well, do keep in touch with LGBTQIA plus news throughout the week by checking out community news resources and online feeds. Why not make us part of your daily read at shoutoutradio.lgbt? For Shoutout News, I've been Terry Starr.
Shoutout News.
National and international LGBT news for you.
For more information about Shoutout Radio, visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shoutout.
LGBT radio for you.
LGBT History Month with BCFM 93.2. Alan Turing. Turing is considered the founder of modern computing, and by breaking the Enigma code, is credited with shortening World War II by an estimated 2 years and saving an estimated 14 million lives. Turing was convicted for homosexual acts in 1952, resulting in his security clearance being revoked and was forced to take hormonal treatment. He died at the age of 41 from cyanide poisoning. The coroner's verdict was suicide. In 2013, Turing was granted a posthumous royal pardon, formally cancelling his criminal conviction. In 2017, the Alan Turing Law provided either a posthumous pardon or an automatic formal pardon for living people where similar offences were removed from their record. LGBT History Month with BCFM 93.2.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Played that because I'm really excited because we're going to be going to see it. Yay! What was that?
Say what?
I know, right?
I can't wait.
LGBT History Month with BCFM 93.2. Sylvester.
Sylvester James Jr. was born on September the 6th, 1947, an American singer-songwriter known for his flamboyant and androgynous appearance and falsetto singing voice. Born in Watts, Los Angeles, to a middle-class African-American family, Sylvester developed a love of singing through his local gospel choir. He left the church after the congregation expressed disapproval of his homosexuality and found friendship among a group of black crossdressers and transgender women. His first solo album came in 1977, called simply Sylvester. The acclaimed disco album Step 2 followed in 78, which included the hit single You Make Me Feel. Four more albums followed. Sylvester campaigned against the spread of HIV/AIDS, which he died from on December 16, 1988. In 2005, he was posthumously inducted into the Dance Music Hall of Fame.
Shout out.
LGBT Radio for you.
LGBT History Month with BCFM 93.2. Gilbert Baker. Baker was stationed in San Francisco as a medic for the US Army from 1970 until 1972. After being taught to sew by a fellow activist, Baker would create banners for gay rights and anti-war protest marches. Baker first created the rainbow flag with a collective in 1978, but refused to trademark it, seeing it as a symbol that was for the LGBT community. The original flag was made up of 8 stripes, but the pink and turquoise stripes were dropped for practical reasons. Each colour was symbolic: pink for sex, red for life, orange as healing, yellow as sunlight, green for nature, and turquoise for magic and art, indigo for serenity, violet for spirit. A number of variations of the flag have surfaced over the years, the most recent being the additions of black and brown stripes as inclusive support for black and minority ethnic individuals who identify as LGBT+. After Gilbert's death in 2017, a new type font was designed, inspired by the rainbow flag. The font is simply called Gilbert. LGBT History Month with BCFM 93.2.
Right, we're going to go around the table now. Arby, have you got your hairbrush ready? Terry, have you got your hairbrush? Yes, Terry's ready.
What's happening?
Are you ready?
Drink.
Has everybody out there got their hairbrush? You've been warned.
Potential.
It's sing along time.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Go down on me. We'll do that again. Or will I? I think you did all so well out there.
Gotta say, as well as I know that song, I'm unsure if I've ever heard that.
Well, Terry was actually up on the news desk. RB was a bit out of sync, but
everyone
still
was just floating around a pole, which is magnificently queer.
Thank you, Elton. Thank you, George.
Thank you very much.
Do you know we're nearly out of time?
You what?
Oh, my gosh.
Behave.
Yeah, not long now.
Gosh.
And we'll be saying goodbye. But before we go, were we going to talk about Doctor Who?
Well...
Or do you think we said enough about that?
Yeah, we can talk about Doctor Who, but I feel like Nshuti Gutwa has done an amazing job. And actually, at the moment, we don't really know enough about, you know, what's going on behind the scenes. What I will say is that I truly do think Russell T has done an amazing job. And it's not really at the fault of the writers or the stars that the audience just hasn't been as big. I will say that Disney might need to rethink their pushiness.
What's your thoughts?
I'll say that.
What's your thoughts, Arby?
I think it's a bit of a panic by people like The Sun have got a headline today about the fans' fury at the woke storylines in Doctor Who.
If
you're furious about that, you're not really a Doctor Who fan, I don't think.
No. Very well said.
Yeah, and yeah. I don't know why woke in those newspapers, the right-wing newspapers, is a bad thing. If you read up what woke means, I mean, I'm quite proud to be woke, actually.
I'm very proud to be woke. We are awake. I don't really understand how people like use it as a slur. You're so woke. Yeah, I'm awake. Like, I'm empathically awake. I'm knowledgeably awake. We're just aware of what's going on in the world. I did want to say that he's got another amazing series coming out. And let's not forget what Russell T has done for queer television. And Magic the Gathering is something that you brought up in the news, Terry. And I just want to say that, you know, I know a lot of queer people. And Magic the Gathering is a really, really safe space, as is Warcraft for these people. So, and it's also something that anybody can join in with at any ability. So if there are people out there wondering, like, what can I do to get involved with something that I'm interested in? There are so many groups around the country for Magic the Gathering, and you will always be welcome. And that's the same for anything, to be honest. You know, and I always use the word nerdy, like, in the most loving way. There's so many nerdy, queer spaces out there, whether it's board game cafes, whether it's Magic the Gathering, whether it's Warcraft. Just have a Google, people, because... there's so much stuff out there for everybody, and it can be really empowering just to be in a safe space.
Can I just say, Terry?
No.
That marathon news, well done. That
yes,
was incredible.
Well done, sir.
Thank you.
That was, I think, 8-9 minutes worth.
I am
least.
Available for speeches at weddings, bar mitzvahs, all the events. Okay. You just get them.
We do pack that hour.
Oh, we absolutely do, Stephanie. I'm still emotional after the hairbrush moment.
Start voting, good shadow listeners. The solars are in full swing.
All right, go to awards.shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Whatever you're doing for the next week.
Vote, vote, vote. Oh, and have a great lush time. We are rainbow.
We are rainbow.
We are Bye. Rainbow. Bye. Bye.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.